Hello, and welcome to Developing Perspective. Developing Perspective is a near daily podcast discussing what is new and interesting in iOS, Apple, and the like. I'm your host, David Smith. I'm an independent iOS developer based in Herndon, Virginia. This is show 1.0. That's right, this is the first of what I would call the official shows. Beyond this, things seem to have settled down. I think I've gotten the kinks worked out, and so the podcast is out of beta, which is kind of exciting for me. Today is July 28th. Let's get started. Affirmative Developing Perspective is basically that I will cover a handful of links and articles that I found interesting in roughly the last 24 hours or so, and then move on to a more general discussion towards the end. The show will never be longer than 15 minutes. Let's get going. All right, to start off, I have a couple of things that sort of analyses that I did yesterday. First one I'm going to mention here, which was a follow-on to my Mac value discussion that I discussed yesterday, I was trying to discover whether CPU is the primary driver in compilation time, or if hard drive speed or related things are. And, you know, there's a lot of things that I'm sure would always come into play here. It's always hard to pinpoint exactly one thing that is the core driving factor. You're always going to be creating some kind of synthetic benchmark to do that. But at least I was hoping to create something that would be an interesting and relatively valid way to evaluate that. And so what I did is I took my three hard drives that I had sitting around the office. I have a Mercury Extreme Pro SSD, a regular 5400 conventional spinning disk, and then I had a Lacy Big Disk, which is set up to RAID 0. And so that creates three very distinct hard drive speeds that I'm testing out, racing from SSD on the fastest end to the Graduate 5400 RPM conventional disk on the other extreme. Then I also have two machines in my office. I have an Intel i7 quad-core iMac, and then I also have a MacBook Pro, which is a 2.53 GHz Intel Core 2 Duo, which is a dual processor. Those machines, comparatively, from a Geekbench perspective, the iMac is 9890, and the MacBook Pro is 3581. So almost roughly about three times, I think it's 2.7 times faster is the iMac versus the MacBook Pro. So what allows me to do by having this setup is I can attach the FireWire hard drives to each of the machines and then compile my three main projects, audiobook, Simplecasts, and my recipe book, across all three of them, and then switching between the different hard drives and switching across the different machines, which essentially gives me six data points for all the different options and configurations there. And basically, to do this, if you're interested, basically you can just run Xcode build clean, and then you run time Xcode build at the command line in the root directory of an Xcode project, and it will build it in a way that is sort of much more reliable and works well as a benchmark. And the results were fairly interesting, not exactly what I would have expected. So first, there's definitely an improvement that you get in compilation time and speed based on the different hard drives. I saw about a 10 to 15% improvement between moving from the 5400 RPM drive to the SSD. However, what I saw, which was much more dramatic, is that the actual compilation time was far more dependent on CPU. The difference between moving from my iMac to my MacBook Pro was very dramatic, almost exactly matching the Geekbench change. So compilation was about 2.75 times faster when working on my iMac than it was on my MacBook Pro. I imagine at a point this would level off and you'd stop seeing diminishing returns. However, it certainly is, at this point, I would say that compilation time is far more tied to the speed of your CPU, and probably even more there, the number of cores that you have. In this case, going from two virtual cores to eight virtual cores was a far more dramatic improvement than I was able to see with a hard drive. Of course, you combine the two, you get a fast hard drive with a fast CPU, and you'll have the best results. Definitely something that's worth thinking about when you're considering what your next developer machine is. Alright, next link I have is over to it's an oldie but a goodie from the Red Sweater blog. So this is Daniel Jelkut's blog. And it's just an interesting article that he wrote some years ago when the old stock market crash in 2008. And essentially what it's just is reminding us that the safest investment you can always have is in yourself, given that that is the one place that if you put your money, your time, and your energy, you know you're going to see that return, because you're investing in something that you're going to have to maintain and do for the rest of your life, which is your life. Next, is either over on the iFixit blog, the people who do those amazing teardowns of machines and hardware, and it's always one of my favorite things whenever a new piece of hardware comes out, is always seeing them tearing it apart. They have a job posting out. They're looking for a technical writer and tinkerer, as they describe it. And it's just, I came across this in my RSS feed, and I was just really struck by how well they did in putting this together. It's just a really polished, nice job posting. They have a great video at the bottom talking about what the office environment is. It sounds like a really interesting company to work for. If I was looking for a job, I'd definitely consider it. But I think it just serves as a good example of the kind of thing that if you're looking to hire developers, especially, something that you want to look at for, this is a good way to communicate, I think, what it's like to work there and to create, make people want to work there. All right, next, there's a great article over on the Brooks Review talking about how he evaluates and decides on purchasing new iOS apps. And this kind of walks through how he finds out apps, the way values and weights in which he places on the various attributes, for example, icons, names, ratings, prices, those types of things, and just generally walks through his sort of mindset when he's trying to buy a new app. I think this is a very useful article as a just sort of an iOS developer for just getting in sort of into the mind of the customer maybe, and making sure that I'm valuing and emphasizing the right things in my development process rather than not. And so definitely just worth checking out. Obviously, he's a bit of a power user, so it's not necessarily the way that all users think about your applications, but certainly interesting to look at nevertheless. And lastly, I have here a little discussion that I did over on my own blog talking about App Store sales volatility. And specifically, so this was after reading a tweet David Barnhart from AppCovey talked about how he had wild variability in his sales this week, where one day I think he just said he dropped about 70% from normal. And I was curious to see sort of what's normal, what's typical for being an iOS developer in the App Store. And so I plotted the percent change in day-to-day sales as well as week-to-week sales year-to-date for my apps. And, I mean, it's kind of remarkable when you look at it that it's not uncommon to have daily swings in the 40% range, so 40% up, 40% down, and then on a weekly basis to have range of swings almost as large as sort of in the 20% range, which also is pretty impressive, I'd say. So definitely if you make your living in the App Store, it takes a bit of a strong constitution and a bit of patience, because it's quite a ride. All right, and for today's discussion, I'm going to talk just briefly about something that I found kind of fascinating. And so yesterday, I had a blog post that I mentioned a couple of days ago about Mac value, where I sort of did the cost for performance analysis of the various Macs in the current lineup. And it got linked up on SeanBlanc.net and then over on Marco.org, which on a personal note is, that was sort of the highlight of my week, to be shown up on places, especially Marco.org, which is a site that has just been one of my favorites for years. And really, it's very cool to see your name mentioned there. The thing that was kind of fascinating about it, and this is something that as a developer, I think is a big mind shift change going from doing just development to also now doing some blogging, is the sort of the urgency, sort of the temptation, maybe is the better word for it, to constantly be tinkering and changing the post after you publish it. So you publish it, and then, for example, in this case, I got a lot of feedback. People ask questions, things are going on. And there's this fascinating thing that I found that with an application, I'm constantly iterating on it. I'm constantly improving it. I'm taking one base of code, and I'm trying to make it as good as possible, adding features, improving it, adding depth. Whereas moving into the sort of the written realm, that motivation changes quite dramatically because while I could, I suppose, constantly be sitting there editing my blog posts, changing them, adding information, removing information, tweaking and changing them, it doesn't really fit with the form. I think the most readers' expectations is once they read it, other than sort of typographic corrections or a few maybe sort of factual updates, it is what it is. And so it's just kind of an interesting thing that I've had to deal with. I'm kind of going from that. I think at this point, it's just kind of interesting for me to be thinking, okay, when I'm going to write something, I should probably make sure that it's pretty close to exactly what it is that I want to say. Make sure that it's sort of well thought out and thoughtful in a way that with code, I'll often, you write something, you kind of get it working, you get that first prototype out, and then of, then you put in front of some beta testers, and those types of processes are in place. Whereas with a blog post, I suppose I could do some of that internally, but mostly it's just I need to make sure I can change my mindset that writing is very different. It's a different modality than writing code. That the when I hit publish, there is only ever version one. There is never really version 1.1. There isn't version 1.2. There isn't version 2.0 of a blog post. And I just needed to sort of thought it was interesting to kind of be thinking about it in those terms, because it's a change that I wasn't expecting coming from software development and then moving into blog writing. All right, well, that's today's article. Hope you enjoyed episode 1.0. As I said, basically at this point, I think I've kind of got the kinks worked out. I think things have settled down. If you have any feedback, questions, thoughts, corrections, please hit me up on Twitter at I am at underscore David Smith, so underscore DavidSmith. And otherwise, have a good day, happy coding, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.